It's going to be a challenging message again today, I think, from the elements, that is. And so we'll just go forward right there. You know, this week we're continuing in the theme of our relationship with God. And a couple weeks ago I spoke on trusting in the Lord. And indeed, We need to have our trust in Him because everything else is uncertain, that's for sure. And also, last week I talked about taking refuge in the Lord. And now this week, I want to remind us all, we need to be reminded that we can actually draw near to the Lord. And in this passage in Hebrews, which this is part one, we'll finish this thought next week as well, but we are invited to draw into the presence of God. We are invited to draw near unto the Lord. And so we're going to look at this. And I think as Christians, we're so used to just praying and you know, just doing the things that we do and we serve and we, you know, we go about our business and we're believers and all these things. But I think sometimes we forget what a privilege it is to be able to draw near to the Creator of the universe. A privilege it is to have His ear, that He listens to us. And we kind of forget what it was like before when we were not believers. We forget that, well, we didn't even know that we were missing out on anything, first of all. But there is a tremendous privilege that we have because of what Jesus Christ did. And so we're going to talk about that today because, you know, as you see on your outline, the heading there, it's what Jesus has done that we may have access to God. Access to God. And what a privilege it is to have access to the living God. And let me look at the verses that I read this morning. It talks about the covenant that God will make with us. And he's talking about when Jesus comes, and he's going to put the laws on our hearts and write them on our minds. And he's not, and this is just wonderful. This is the best news. He'll never again remember our sins or the things we have done that broke the law. And it says, now where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. And you see, the nation of Israel, they had to make sacrifices. The high priest would make a sacrifice every year on the Day of Atonement. And to make that sacrifice, he had to get ready. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit. But it was one day a year, and then that would kind of appease the wrath of God for another year for the nation of Israel. But now we don't have to make a sacrifice. The sacrifice has been made. And he says, there is no longer an offering for sin. We don't have to take our best sheep or animal and then sacrifice it so that God will have mercy on us. We no longer have to do that because the Lamb of God came, Jesus Christ, to do that. And he says in verse 19, which, this is where we're going. We're just going to do three verses, 19, 20, and 21 of Hebrews chapter 10. He says, therefore, brothers, therefore, because of forgiveness, because he's going to write this law in our hearts and all these things, he says, therefore, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. He says we can have boldness to enter the sanctuary. And to understand what a privilege that is, that we can enter into the presence of God, we need to understand what the obstacles were. What obstacles did Jesus remove? And so Jesus is our place of access. That's the first point. We're looking at the place of access. And in Old Testament times, when Moses was in the wilderness, that was the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was there, and the nation of Israel would pitch their tents around it. And so I want to take you back to that time. I want to take you back to the time where the nation of Israel is camped about the tabernacle, and the priests are inside, inside serving God and making offerings and burning incense and worshiping. And in the temple, at the outer part of the tabernacle, they had this wall basically around it. It was made of linen. It was made of cloth and wood framing, and it was very specific how God wanted it made. And there was an entrance to it, and only one entrance, which we know means Jesus, right? There's only one way to God, and there was one entrance, and there was a gatekeeper there. And this gatekeeper, you know, no one could go in there except those that were of the nation of Israel. And so, if you will, I want to take you on a little trip and just pretend like you're not a member of the nation of Israel. You're not a believer. But you know there's a God, and you would like to worship Him. You'd like to get to know Him better. And you're walking across the desert, and you come across this hill, and you come on top of the hill, and you look down, and there's the tabernacle, and there's all these tribes, you know, camped around it, and you're like, wow, I wonder what that is. I'm going to go down and check it out. And there's this cloud hanging over the tabernacle, and you're looking at that, and you're going, wow, it never moves. It's just right there. And I'm going to go check this out. And so here you are. You're this person, and you know there's a God, and you're kind of seeking a little bit, and you come across this thing in the wilderness. So you go down and you're walking around, and then you come to the entrance, and there's this gatekeeper. And you go to the gatekeeper and you go, I'd like to go in there. I want to go in. And the gatekeeper goes, no, you can't go in. Only Jews can go in. Only people that are born of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin or Dan or Asher or Manasseh, one of these tribes, there's 12 tribes. Only people that are born of these 12 tribes can come in to this doorway here. And so the only way that you could come in would be if you were born again. You'd have to be born again into the nation of Israel to come in and come into the tabernacle. And here you are, and you're like, wow, you know, here's this man. Let's just put it in the form of a man that came in. And he's going, wow, I wish I was an Israelite. I wish I was of one of those nations. And then he's still looking through the door, you know, by the gatekeeper, and he says, I see a man in this building. There's like a building in there. I see a man in there. What's all that about? And the gatekeeper says, well, that's the tabernacle itself. And inside that area that you see that man, that there's a lampstand, and there's a table, and there's an altar. And that man is a priest. And he trims the lamp, and he eats of the holy shewbread, and he burns incense to the living God. And then the guy says, wow, I wish I was an Israelite so that I could go worship God in there. I could be that guy. The gatekeeper goes, no. Even if you were an Israelite, you couldn't do that. Only those that are born of the tribe of Levi, and even of them, only those of the family of Aaron can go and do what these guys are doing. And he's like, wow, I wish that I had been born of the family of Aaron so I could go in there. And then he's looking further, and he goes, wow, that place seems pretty big. It seems like there's another place there beyond where that priest is. What else is in there? And the gatekeeper goes, oh, well, there's another room back there. And it's called the Holy of Holies. And it's separated from the room that you can see by this beautiful veil. This beautiful veil. And what's in that room? The guy asks. And he says, well, there's a sacred container that we call it the Ark of the Covenant. And inside it contains some holy memorials from our past, reminders of for us of who God is and what He's done for us. And it has a cover. This container has a cover that's made of gold. And it's called the mercy seat because God sits there. God rests upon the mercy seat. Do you see that cloud? What that cloud is over the tabernacle? That's the glory of God that is resting on the mercy seat. And the guy's standing there and he's, wow. Man, if only I were a priest, I would go in there and I would worship God every day. I would worship God all day, every day, if I could go in there. And the gatekeeper goes, no, even if you were a priest, you couldn't do that. Only the high priest is the only one that can go in there. Only he can go in there. And even then, he can only go in there once a year. One time a year, on a day we call the Day of Atonement, can he go in there? And even then, when he goes in there, he has to be prepared. He has to be specially cleansed and wear a special garment and bring a special offering. And even then, it's only for a short time. He goes in and he does the things that God has deemed that he must do while in there and sprinkle blood on the altar and all those things. And then he has to leave. He's the only one that can go in there one day a year for a short time. And the man, he's sad. And he turns away because he knows that it's impossible for him to go in. And it's just like us. It is impossible for us, the way we are, the way we were born, to go in to the presence of God. Unless something supernatural happens, unless something takes place that enables us to go in. You see, the tabernacle, that's the place of access. That's the place of access. But now we continue in these three verses, and we're going to read the end of 19 and all of 20, and we see the price of access. The price of access. He says, brothers, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he has opened for us through the curtain, that curtain that separates the first part of the tabernacle from the Holy of Holies. He has opened us a way through the curtain. And then the writer of Hebrews says, that is his flesh. His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, but by a new and living way, he has opened for us through the curtain, that is his flesh, by the blood of Jesus. You see, this is the price of access. We enter through that veil by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was a marvelous veil that they hung there in the tabernacle to separate the two rooms, to separate the front part from the Holy of Holies. And it was a marvelous veil. It was beautiful. And it was three colors, three equal colors. It was blue and scarlet red, and it was purple. And there's a lot of symbolism there. Now, first of all, we need to understand the blue, that this veil is actually symbolic of Christ. It's only going through the veil that you can get to the Holy of Holies. It's only going through Christ that we can get to the living God. It's the only way. And we need to understand the blue. What was the blue? Well, look at this sky today. Man, it is a majestic blue. It is wonderful. The heavenlies, blue. And you know what? Jesus Christ came from heaven. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, came from heaven. But you know that tapestry, that veil that was there was also red. And you know what's interesting? The first man, the one that God created in the Garden of Eden, his name was Adam. His name was Adam. And you know what Adam means? It means red. It's literally what it means. It means red. And You see, Jesus, yes, he was divine. He was from heaven, but he was also from Adam. He was fully man. He's fully God, but he's fully man. And do not ask me to understand that. Do not ask me to explain it, but we know it's true. He was God and he was man. He was 100% God, 100% man. All at the same time. And the purple, what is that? Well, what do you get when you mix red with blue? You get purple. You get purple. The God-man. The blue, the divine from the blue, from heaven. The red, the man from right here on earth. Jesus was both. He was man and he was God. The purple. When you take equal parts of blue and equal parts of red, you get purple. The significance of the veil that separated the tabernacle from the Holy of Holies. Jesus Christ is that veil. That's why it says in there, it says he is open for us through the curtain. And then it says in parentheses, that is his flesh. His flesh. Jesus Christ. And we see in the scriptures many times examples of Jesus' divinity and of his humanness. Remember the story of the woman at the well. The disciples had gone into town and to get whatever they were obeying Jesus. He sent them on an errand. And he comes over and he sits by a well. And here comes this woman. And we know the story. You know, she was a sinner. She'd been married like 6 or 7 times. And now she's just living with a guy. And here she comes, a sinful woman, and she comes up and she sees Jesus sitting there, and Jesus says, "Give me something to drink. Give me something to drink." You see, Jesus was thirsty. That is a human trait. You know, I'm up here, it's getting kind of warm, the wind's blowing and drying me out, I'm starting to get thirsty a little bit. That's totally human. Jesus would thirst. And he starts engaging with this woman and talking with her. But you know what he does? He starts telling her her past. He's going, yeah, you've been married all those times and now you're living with a guy. And she's like, whoa, how do you know this? Well, he's divine. He knew her need. He knew her situation, and he reached out to her. And you know, in another place, he's with the disciples, and they're on one side of the lake, Sea of Galilee, and he says, let's go to the other side. And he gets in the boat. They all get in the boat. They take off. They're going across the lake, and a huge, huge storm arises on the lake. And the disciples, you know, these are experienced, several of them are experienced fishermen. They've lived their whole lives on this lake. They're used to dealing with the storms. And this storm is just a big one. I mean, this is crazy. They're beginning to fear for their life and they're looking around and they're going, where's Jesus? And where was Jesus? He was down in the bottom of the boat, sleeping. You know why? Because he's human. And humans get tired. And humans have to sleep. And Jesus was human. And he's asleep on the boat. And they go down and they wake him up. And they go, Master, don't you even care if we perish up here? And Jesus comes up and in 3 words shows his divinity. And he says, peace, be still. And boom. Man, I'd like to be able to do that and stop this wind right now. You know, peace, be still. Boom. No wind, right? Then I could just keep my hand off this Bible and, you know, keep not hold my place here and, you know, make me a little less distracted. It'd be all good, you know. But the point is, Jesus was human. Jesus could, thank you. Jesus was human. He was tired. He would sleep. But he was also divine. Even the wind and the rain and the storm obeyed him. Why? Because he's fully human and he's fully God. But here's the thing. The veil. the veil between the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, the veil spoke of Christ. Christ was perfect because, you see, that's the standard for a relationship with God. You got to be perfect or you are separated from God. It's an amazing thing. Jesus is the standard, and every person, no matter how good, runs into that obstacle. The second you reach out to God, you find out there's an obstacle, and it's your own sin. It's your own lack of perfection, if you will. But here's the good news. The veil is torn. Jesus paid the price. That's this point here, the price of access. What did it cost? It cost Jesus his life. He stood for God. He stood for everything that was righteous. He did nothing wrong in his whole life. Yet he was convicted and sentenced to die, and he was hung on a cross, and he died. And the moment that he died, what happened? The veil tore in the tabernacle, separated in the temple at this time in Jerusalem. They had the outer room, and then they had the Holy of Holies, just like we talked about in the tabernacle. And there was that veil there, and it tore from top to bottom. God tore that veil. The price was paid for our sin on the cross. God reached down, tore the veil. But here's the point I want you to see. Here's a very important truth of this situation. The veil was not removed. The veil was still there. It was torn. There was now an opening. You get that? There's now an opening, but the veil is still there. You can only get into the Holy of Holies through that opening, and that opening is Jesus Christ. You know, what did he say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. In another place, he says, I am the door. And you open the door and you go through me. He's the veil. And when he paid the price for your sin, my sin, the sin of the world, God made that opening in there that we could go in through Jesus Christ. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path to righteousness. There's only one way, folks. It's that one tear in the veil where you go through Christ. It's the only way to the Father. We don't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. That veil wasn't torn down. It was torn so that we could get through. Jesus' body was torn so that we could get through to the Father. What a truth. Lastly, we see proof of access. Proof of access. We have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus by a new and living way. He has opened for us through the curtain that is his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Jesus is our high priest. There's no more high priest needing to go in there that one day a year, make an offering, the day of atonement for our sin. We don't have to do that. Jesus is our high priest. He has entered the Holy of Holies. And since he is in there, we can be in there. We can be in there. You see, Jesus does what no other high priest could do. Jesus can take other people into the Holy of Holies. The high priest couldn't do that. If the high priest took someone in, that person would die. And probably the high priest would die too, because he violated God's ordinance on that. He could take no one else in. But because of Jesus, we have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to the presence of God. We can draw near to God. That's proof. Proof of the access. What's the proof? Jesus is there. After he rose from the dead, he ministered here on earth for 40 days. And he ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He's with the Father right now, making intercession for us. What a marvelous truth. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. This wind has forced me to flip my notes around here a little bit. So as we can see, the more we examine the tabernacle, the more we realize what Jesus has done for us. I think so many times we just so naturally as Christians, when you got a problem, you just start praying to God. You just say, wow, I'm hurting today, Lord. Oh, Lord, help me to feel better. Or Lord, help me to know the right words to say. I'm in a situation and I need to say the right words. Or maybe my job is in jeopardy. Or maybe I don't have a job. Or, whatever it is, it's going on. We so easily, and it is supposed to be easily. Jesus made it that way. But I think sometimes we forget what Jesus did for us. We forget what it took to give us that access. Do you understand the Old Testament message? The Old Testament message was stay back. Stay back from God. You cannot approach Him. Only the high priest on a certain day. You must stay back. When Adam sinned, think about this, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, when they sinned, what happened? They were cast out of the garden, and God placed, cherubim, angels at the door with a flaming sword saying, you can't come in. Separation from God had taken place. And all through the Old Testament, if you didn't approach God exactly as He put it, exactly on His terms, you would die. Remember when David was moving the ark and they were carrying through and the oxen stumbled and the ark tipped and it was going to fall over and a well-meaning guy was standing there and he touched the ark to steady it so it wouldn't fall and bam, God struck him down. And we think, how harsh. But the truth is, he broke the law. And God punished him. There was no access to God. When Moses constructed a tabernacle, everyone was forbidden to enter the Holy of Holies. There was separation. It was stay back. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came and changed it all. And the New Testament tells us, draw near. Draw near. The door has been opened. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Interesting that he said, through me. Just like that split in the veil, we go through that split. We go through Jesus Christ into the presence of God. Through that veil, through Jesus Christ, we have access, yes, into the Holy of Holies. Right into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Every time I watch the news, I get angry because of all the things that I'm being told I can't do. But here is something we're told we can do. And it is the most important thing that we can do. And that is we can come into the presence of God. And no governor and no president and no board of legislature or can make any law that can keep us from that. There may be someone out here today that you've kind of been thinking about stuff. You've been thinking about, maybe during these times you've realized there is a bigger picture. There's something bigger going on than this. And you may have recognized your need to get close to God. You may have recognized your need of a Savior. And I'm here to tell you, this is your opportunity. Jesus paved the way. He entered the Holy of Holies, Holy of Holies on your behalf. And all you have to do is just humble yourself. Just confess that you needed Jesus to do it. You can't get to God on your own. You needed Christ. and you place your faith and trust in what he did on the cross, that the veil was torn because of Jesus' sacrifice. He paid the price. And now you have access. Will you make that? Will you make that decision so that you can have access to the Father? There may be some listening online. There may be some sitting in this parking lot right now. But you need that. It's a simple prayer, folks. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner. I fall short. But I believe that Jesus did these things for me. And I'm trusting in him. Will you save me? And you know what? That's a prayer God will answer. And he will. I hope you'll consider that. I hope, and if you haven't done it, I hope you will. I pray you will. For the rest of us, yes, even though we are saved and we've taken that step of faith and we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we do know that even then, our sin can kind of separate us from God. We don't have that fellowship. You know, just like a child, when you have a child and you love that child and you'll do anything for that child, but when they disobey you, when they do something that just breaks the relationship, you know, you're sitting there, yeah, that's my child, but I'm not real happy with him right now. And unless things are made right, the relationship is harmed. There's separation there. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we say and do things, we kind of get caught up in our flesh or whatever, and we can do some things that hinder our relationship with God. And God doesn't want that. He sent Jesus to make all that go away. But maybe there's something you've been dealing with. Maybe there's something in your heart that, you know, you know it's not right, and you know it's hurting your relationship with God. You know, maybe this is a time for you to just take a step back and just begin praising God for what Jesus did to get us through the veil. And just start over. Just say, you know what, Lord, I know I'm still your child, but I know I've kind of disappointed you. I know I've kind of walked away from you in some areas. Lord, will you just forgive me and restore me? I like the way David put it in Psalm 51. He didn't say, restore my salvation to me. Because as you should know, we don't believe you can lose your salvation if you're truly saved. But what David wrote, though, was after his great sin, and he was getting back with God, and he was getting right with God, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Because you see, when you're at odds with your Father, it's hard to have joy. But when you make things right with a Father, the joy can be restored. And some of us, we may have some things that we need to make right with God. And I hope you'll do that. If that's your case. But let us all always remember the place of access, the price of access, and the proof of access that we have because of what Jesus Christ did. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I come before you and Father God, you know, forgive me for my flesh, my getting worked up over things that you have totally under control. Father, indeed, restore the joy of our salvation. Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the veil that was torn. Thank you, Lord, for the access we have through Jesus Christ to you. Thank you for being our loving Father. Thank you for being our righteous Father, our holy Father that loves us enough to discipline us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for always seeking to bring us back close to you, Lord. Thank you for that. Father, help us all to examine ourselves and trust in you in a greater way each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I pray you have a blessed week. Y'all take care. We'll see you next week and on Wednesday night for the update. God bless you.